be dismissed to children's church. Heavenly Father, we come before you, opening up your word. The truth of your word, Lord, needs to sink into our hearts today so that we can live it and to be involved with what you are saying and watch it change our hearts and our lives. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's no surprise that the world in which we live is filled with stress, pressure, and anxiety over present situations that we see in our country to allow you to be ineffective for what's going on. So life obviously is filled with uncertainties. We don't know about tomorrow. We don't even know about the next hour. But it's not up to us to stress about it. And yet we do. We stress about the next hour. We stress about later today. We stress about tomorrow. We look at our calendar and we think, oh my word, how in the world? And we allow that calendar to consume us, and we allow those things to get us. Life is filled with uncertainties, especially in the situations that we live in today, the economy, the situations we see in our country and around the world, and the devastating things that are being allowed. Remember, Jesus was telling this to people who were under the occupation of a foreign country. They were under the domination of Rome. They weren't free. And so it's not like, well, it's easy for them to say, look at, there's nothing going on. Oh, really? I wouldn't say Roman domination and Roman occupation was something to just sneeze at. So if Jesus tells us to do or not to do something, he always supplies us with the means to do what he's commanding. He always gives us that help. He always gives us the strength. He always gives us the ability. So to be anxious or worry, in the Greek, the word literally means to be drawn in different directions, to distract by overbearing cares. And so those overbearing cares, it's literally being pulled in different directions at the same time. Pulling this way, pulling this way, pulling that way, pulling this way. That's what worry does. It pulls us in all these directions, and that's what this word means. Ever experience that feeling? Where it feels like you're being pulled from here and pulled from there, and then somebody else throws something in, and then another monkey wrench comes in, you're being pulled in all these directions. When this happens in our lives, then we lose focus on what's most important because we're being pulled in so many directions, unless we're learning what Jesus is teaching. You see, in life, the most important thing is to be totally sold out to Jesus. You say, well, preachers have to say that. They always have to say, be sold out. That's the truth of Scripture. You've got to be totally sold out to Jesus, following and obeying everything that he tells us. When we do this, things fall into place. Oswald Chambers shares a great truth about divine reasonings of faith. And he says this, in a quote, faith is our personal confidence in a being, God, whose character we know, but whose ways we cannot trace by common sense. By reasoning of faith is meant the practical outworking in our lives of implicit, determined confidence in God. End quote. Think about that. Determined confidence in God. Determined is your part. You've got to determine to do that. God's not going to determine it for you. You're created with free choice. You have to determine that you are going to have confidence in God implicitly. Think about that. What do we know about the character of God? The Bible tells us, doesn't it? Take some time to meditate on that, and you won't find one thing in his character that's detrimental, dangerous, hurtful, or defeating. God's character is perfect in love, in care, in help, in kindness, in justice, in righteousness, in so many things. It's inexhaustible that we could go on listing. So what is there to cause us to lack confidence and our Heavenly Father. Why do we do that from time to time? It's only our lack of relationship or understanding of Him, or there's some sin in our life. And those are good indicators to say, okay, what is it? Let's get this right. Let's make this right, because there's something that's getting in the way of my completely following Him and having a determined confidence. You see, Jesus is talking to us about these needs, the very basics of life, and this necessities. Food, clothing, shelter. Those are things we need to live, to survive. So, for these basic needs in life, we need to place our confidence in God, whose character is shown to us through His actions, through His word, and is shown to us in Jesus Christ. And if He supplies the very basics, then He's going to be able to supply everything else we need. Everything that we need. All these truths are fine, and we agree, and we live in them until. It's always that until, or that what if, or that but. We're fine until something in life comes up, and is always going to do this. It's always going to happen, so watch for it. It's going to challenge you. It's going to threaten us. It goes against common sense. It stresses us to the point where we begin to what? We start to worry about it. We start to fret about it. We start to have anxiety about it. What we do is we fail to see that God can help us make sense of His commands, His way of thinking, and our stressful world, which seeks to force its agenda on us and make us anxious. There's nothing better than having that they want to do is than to force you into being anxious about everything in life, stressing about it. When a crisis comes, so often we think like an unbeliever for some reason. And often we act like an unbeliever when those things happen. The disciples did, and they were right there face to face with Jesus. We now have the Holy Spirit to help us, and so we need to be different. We allow the situation to control us, to get a hold of our emotions, to control us, to cause us to panic and often to freak out over what's going on. And now all of a sudden, instead of that determined confidence in God, we're controlled by a situation that either we created or somebody else created or that we're just involved in, and all of a sudden things start falling apart. Sadly, there's only a very few that are bold enough to put all of their faith and character in God, in the character of God. Maybe you've known some people like that, where they are just towers of strength, pillars of strength, and you're thinking, man, if I can only be like that. Well, God wants you to be what He wants you to be, and He wants you to be strong, and He wants you to be like that. You see, this is true of the Christian in the West, is that we're wishy-washy way too often. You get out of the Western society and you get over there in the East and you get over there in the persecuted countries, and you're going to find believers who believe and who are strong in their faith because that's all they have. And they're a lesson to us that when they face whatever is coming their way, they don't worry about it, they don't stress over it, they pray. What did we see the apostles doing so often when the stresses were there? Arrested, beaten, thrown in jail. Don't you dare do this again. Don't you dare, in the constant pressure. What'd they do? All right, let's just go have a party and let's go do something else. They had a prayer meeting. And they began to pray about it. And they prayed, and God came in such a way that the whole place was shaken with the power of God. And they spoke with boldness, irregardless of what society told them to do. You know, people think and say, after all, don't you see what's happening in my life? I got all these problems and all these trials and all these troubles. Well, here's the problem. We're looking at our life. We're looking at our life, which seems normal, and not looking at the one who holds our lives. And so every time you start looking at your lives, it's like Peter walking on the water, looking at Jesus, and then starts looking at his life like, what in the world am I doing out here? And he looks around and he sees the water and he hears the wind and he feels the wind and he begins to sink. We need to look at the one who's holding our lives. Is he trustworthy? Yes. Is he faithful? Yes. Does he have power? Yes. He's got all power and he holds our lives. You see, the bottom line we need to learn in life is when it comes to understanding spiritual things, it's not intellect, it's obedience that counts. It's our obedience. The only way that we can gain insight into what Jesus teaches is not by intellect, it's by obedience. And again, a bottom line here. There's a lot of bottom lines here today. Bottom line is that if there is in your life things that make you spiritually, the spiritual dark in you, to you, it usually is because there's something that you don't want to do. When that darkness comes, when that instability comes, when that worry comes, when that fretting comes, it's usually because you know there's something you should do, but you just don't want to. You know what God requires, but I'm going to put that off a little while. Go ahead and put it off. You'll pay for it. You'll pay for it with the stresses. You'll pay for it with the worries. You'll pay for it with all the other things. Don't put it off. We need to do what God requires. In other words, there's an area that you are being disobedient in. That's what making it plain and simple. You're just being disobedient. If there is a shadow in our intellect about things, it's usually because of ignorance. We haven't learned it yet. But if there's a shadow of darkness in our spiritual life, it's because of some area that we do not want to obey in. We just don't want to do that yet. I'll get to that, but there's some things I want to do first. So as spiritual as you may seem to yourself, there's always challenges for us to not obey in certain areas. And those challenges are not accidental. They come sometimes from the struggle of our inner nature. They sometimes come by way of temptation that the enemy brings. You don't need to obey in that. Is God really, that concerned about that? What did he say to Eve? Did he really say that? If you begin to question that, and you can entertain that question, you're in trouble. As soon as that type of a question comes, you need to dismiss it, get on top of it, and begin to have that determined confidence in God that you're not going there. Anytime you justify or rationalize something, and it may be an indicator that there's a lack of wanting to obey in a certain area. And we begin to justify things. See, one of the battles in life is the tension that goes on in our minds between the natural man and its ways and its thinking and doing things and the spiritual man, because now we have that new nature. The old nature is not eradicated. I wish it was, because it would sure make living the spiritual life a whole lot easier, wouldn't it? There was false doctrines years ago that taught the eradication principle, that your old nature is eradicated. It's not. You know that. It's just a matter of life. I can tell you that it's not eradicated. There's a battle. There's a war. There's a tension. That's why Paul gives us a spiritual armor. That's why Jesus always teaches us to watch. That's what we're always told in Scripture, that word watch, 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 be cautious. And so the spiritual man sees things in a spiritual way. Jesus teaches us that we need to develop and have a complete reversal from our worldly reasonings and our worldly way of thinking. He teaches us that we belong to Him and that we need to put our relationship with Him first and everything else second. We know that in our heads. We know we're supposed to do that, but often it's a struggle to live it. And often we struggle with that very thing, and it causes us issues in life. Our spiritual growth should keep us working on all those things, and we should be working on our spiritual growth all the time. It's not something that we compartmentalize and say, all right, on my calendar, okay, it's time to work on spiritual growth. No, it's we work on spiritual growth, and then we add the other things that we have to do to our schedule. We need to work at it. We need to train. We need to seek His help for the most important things that we can do, and that is to fully concentrate on God. Try that sometime. It's a great exercise. A lot of times I do that if I wake up in the night, fully concentrate on Him. You find that there's opposition to that. There's the spiritual forces out there that don't want you concentrating fully on God. And when you're awake in the day and you're fully concentrating on Him, it's amazing how all these other things catch your eye here, catch your eye there. We need to be careful. So listen to what Jesus teaches us if we want to follow him. If you turn to Luke chapter 14, Luke chapter 14, there's several different parts of that chapter we want to look at, starting at verse 26 and 27. He says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." That's pretty harsh. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Then go down to verse 33. And he says, "In the same way, therefore, every one of you who does not say goodbye to all his possessions cannot be my disciple." And then down to verse 35. It isn't fit for the soil or for the manure pile. What isn't? We'll go back to verse 34. "Now salt is good, but if the salt should lose its taste, how will it be made salty?" In other words, we're the salt of the earth. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? But it isn't fit then, once it loses its saltiness, for the soil or for the manure pile. They throw it out. "Anyone who has ears to hear should listen." What does he mean by this? What's he saying? He's not saying, "Well, I can all of a sudden go around and say to my parents, I hate you." That's not what he's saying. Not at all. For us to live a life free of worry, we need to first and foremost see that following him is going to cost us everything. And so often we say, well, you know, we mislead people sometimes with the earnestness of wanting them to accept Christ. We want them to make a decision. Your life is going to be great. Your life is going to be fine. We need to be honest with them and say, when you accept Christ, he's going to change your life and you are going to enter into a war. You're going to enter into a battle. You're going to enter into struggles, but he is there to help you and to teach you. Don't mislead people just because you know we want to see them saved so bad, and we do, but don't mislead them. Jesus tells us that the first condition of following him is personal, passionate devotion to him, until every other devotion in life is hatred in comparison. In other words, we don't actually hate our spouse. We don't actually hate our parents. But in comparison to our love for Christ, which should be much greater, our earthly loves will seem like hatred when we compare it to that. It's so, you know, we love him that much. So what comes to your mind when Jesus says, don't worry about your life? What comes to mind when he says, don't worry about your food or your clothes? Be honest. Don't try and spiritualize. Do thoughts like, yeah, but I have to work. I have to make so much money each week to make my budget. And I have to eat and I have to have clothes to go to work. Oswald Chambers again chimes in and he says, this is how it begins. The great concern of life is not God. Interesting. Jesus says that we need to hunger and thirst for him and his righteousness. Hunger and thirst are the two strongest physical drives that we have. We have to hunger and thirst, that drive, that striving. I'm hungry, I'm thirsty. And we need to do that, those strong drives. See, we don't actually hate our spouse, our parents, etc. But in comparison to our love for Christ, which should be much greater, our earthly loves begin to seem like that in comparison. Jesus is telling us, you got to reverse that order. He says that we are to get in right relationship with him first. And with the greatest concern in our lives, we need to stay there. He needs to be the greatest object of our concern. See, the Lord wants us to never put our focus on our cares or other things. This is a hard discipline to learn, there's no doubt. To allow the Holy Spirit to bring us into harmony with the teachings of Jesus in these verses, in this part of the Sermon on the Mount. What's the reason, though, that Jesus says this? Go back to Matthew chapter 6. As part of our scripture reading, start at verse 26. You go down through verse 29. What's he do? He begins to talk about the birds of the sky. He says, look at the birds of the sky. He says, they're not fussing over what they're going to do, what they're going to eat. How many of you have bird feeders out in your yard? And you notice, how come there's no birds in my bird feeders now? You know, you get some sparrows and you get some turtle doves. That's because the harvest is out there. Lots of berries, lots of things going on. You know, the deer love to come at night to the bird feeders and drain them. But there'll come a time and you say, well, see, the birds depend on me. Well, the Lord's using you. What's to keep the Lord from using someone else to help you and to bring needs into your life and to meet the needs that you have? That's what the Christian community is all about, helping one another and being there for one another. All those things, God has ways of working them if we're willing to trust him. And it's amazing how that happens. So it's a hard discipline to learn to follow and allow the Holy Spirit to bring us into harmony with the teaching of Jesus here. And so he uses these things, the birds, the flowers, to show us from his viewpoint. He's got the best viewpoint, that for us is to focus on these things, to focus on the food, to focus on the clothing, to focus on the needs, is draining in our lives. And it drains our lives of strength. It drains our lives of commitment. It drains our lives. So Jesus wants us to chill, to focus on him first and foremost in every area. So what the Lord is saying to us is that we focus on the life that he's calling us to. And then we will be free of that worry, free of that stress, free of that anxiety, because we will know that our Father is watching over every detail of our lives. That's where he wants us to be. What's our job? Our job is first to be obedient. That's our part. We're to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. He is the real principle of our lives. And when we do, then God is free to provide for us. The value of our lives is far greater, Jesus is saying, than those birds out there. Far greater than the beauty and the splendor that you see and all the different seasons and the flowers and the things that bloom. I mean, even weeds get some pretty flowers sometimes. And we can look at them and say, do I really want to whack that down? Yeah, I do, because I had to pull them out of my garden. But anyways, there's even those flowers. And Jesus said, with all the stresses and with all the focus on life, he says to us, you can't even add a cubit. A cubit was 18 inches. Now, if we all gained 18 inches, we'd be pretty tall. But what Jesus is saying, you can't even add anything to your life by worry. You will take things away, because worry will begin to wear and tear on you. Worry will begin to affect you physically, emotionally, and mentally. He says, you will be, you'll take that away. You can't add anything to your life just by worrying about it. You can sit there and think all day and worry about it all day, and it's not going to come to you. We need to be aware of the fact that we can't develop our inner life, our spiritual growth, if we're always looking at the outer life all the time. And we're always looking at the outer life. When we're in right relationship with God, our lives are going to grow. And the things that we need, he's going to provide. This doesn't mean, oh, good, quit my job, going to get me a hammock, everything's going to be great. He said he's going to provide for me. He also says in the scripture, also, if you don't work, you don't eat. So you're not going to do that. You're not going to be lazy. You're not going to kick back. You're not going to quit your job. You're not going to just sit around waiting and not prepare, not plan, not do our part, because we do play a part. But our main focus is not on the doing, but it's on him and honoring him in every way. Because isn't it he who gives you the strength to do, after all? Isn't he the one that gives you the ability to do? Sometimes we have to ask him, Lord, help me with the want to, because right now I don't want to. So help me with the want to, and he'll even help us with that. There's only one way that we can develop spiritually, and that is by fully concentrating on God. That's it. So how are we to grow then in our spiritual relationship with God? We need to stand firm in our trust, knowing that our Heavenly Father knows where we are, who we are, what's going on in our lives, and what the circumstances are that you're in. Your circumstances didn't take God by surprise. Your situation didn't take God by surprise. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what you're going through. We need to keep focused and concentrating on him. And as we do, we will grow just like the flowers of the field, just like those things that he uses as an illustration here. Then in verses 30 through 32, Jesus adds this. He says, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you? You of little faith. So don't worry saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For the idolaters eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He already knows what you need. You know, just because we think it's a need doesn't mean it's a need, is it? I think I need this, 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 and this, and God says, no, you don't. You just need this and this, and you focus on me, and your contentment will be there. If I just had one more, you know, and you can fill in the blank, I would be content. No, you wouldn't. Because once you got that one more, there's always going to be another one or another something that's out there. He says the idolaters, those that are out there on their own, those that are against me, those are the ones that have that problem. But we are to focus on him. So to live like he expects, we must give everything over to him. And as we do, our faith grows, and so does our relationship. We must be first, he must be first in everything, not just in talk, but in practice. Again, bottom line is that it's not just wrong to worry, it is sin. It's disbelief and disobedience. Someone has called it the respectable sin. There's no sin that's respectable. And yet people will worry and not think of it as sin. Worry is sin. You see, the key is verse 33. Verse 33 says, but instead of all this fussing, all of this worrying, all of this stress, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what? All these things will be added to you. All these things will fall into place. Seek first. The original language indicates we seek as the most important God and his kingdom. This is to be the focal point of our lives every day. In the first place, before you strive after anything else, your first striving is what he's talking about. Strive after me. When we have our priorities right, those things we used to worry and fret about will be taken care of. When all is said and done, and we're in heaven, if we can look back, we'll see all those things that we are anxious over. Man, I was anxious about this and this and this. And man, worry just consumed me there, all worried and fretted about all this. And then we'll see how the hand of God was there, ready to help, ready to focus, help us to be focused, and all that other stuff would have fallen into place. Maybe he'll let us have a glimpse of that. I don't know. And he'll say, see, look at what you suffered. Look at what you went through. And I was right there. All along, he was ready to help and to show himself strong in our lives. So it's not too late for us to get our priorities right and to do life his way. So let's learn to do this, and we'll be blessed. Because Jesus says, listen, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Tomorrow's got its own problems. You're today. You're right here. You're in the right now. Focus on me in the right now. When tomorrow comes, well then, you know what? Focus on me. And we'll be doing the same thing. And then the next day, and the next day, and the next year, and whatever time God gives us. And therefore, we need to have that focus and our trust completely and totally on him. Because he has the answers. He has our life in his hands. He has everything that we need for life and godliness. Let's stand together as we sing our